Such, I thought I would pick a topic that wasn't really on the daf necessarily, but as is our minhag, to begin with a little bit of a hakdama. The hakdama this year will be on the, since the masechta is masechet ksuvos, to begin with the ksuva. Now the truth is that the ksuva doesn't really make its way into the first mishnah, although except a little bit implicitly. Again, we should always start with the first Mishnah, just to give the illusion. The first Mishnah says that Besula Nises Liyama Revi. The Mishnah begins by discussing the appropriate date for getting married. And the Mishnah says that if this is a first-time marriage, then the most appropriate date is on a Wednesday night. Whether this is the halacha today or not, that we'll get to it in a timely fashion, but not right now. B'almana Liyama Chamishi, and if it's an almana, as if it's a second marriage, then Yom HaChamishi, Thursday night. And the reason is, Sheb, right, Pamayim B'Shabbos, Bate Dinim Yoshim Bayoros, B'Yom HaSheni, B'Yom HaChamishi, Shim Hayolo Tainus B'Sulim HaYamashkin LeBezin. If there was some accusation that she, presented herself, as a Besula, and she really wasn't, this should be clarified immediately in the Bezin. So, and what if it were? What if that was the case? So one of the consequences, of course, is the loss, possible loss of the ksuva, certainly the ksuva of a besula, which is the ksuva of Masayim. Anyways, the Masechta is called ksuvos because a lot of the Masechta deals with the marriage contract, broadly speaking, meaning the interrelationship of husband and wife as it's expressed in monetary matters. And I thought it would be just a good way to introduce the Masechta to speak about the ksuva itself. The ksuva, the marriage contract, if you will, in a way reflects a certain, dialectic or duality, maybe is even a better way to say it in this case, about life and a life of kedusha more particularly. And that is that on the surface it seems as if, and to a large extent this is true, that it deals with matters of dollars and cents. It's a financial document, and it regulates, the financial rights and responsibilities, between the husband and the wife. On the other hand, as we know, in interpersonal relationships in the real world, and certainly this is the case in the context of marriage, what looks like money or money matters exclusively, is something which can have tremendous repercussions on relationships, litova or lira'a. In other words, in some cases, the way that a sense of security, a sense of a commitment, a long-term commitment in particular, can be expressed by the way that people interact monetarily one to another. And sometimes, the other direction, when people are, exploit, the vulnerability of a partner or someone with whom they have dealings. So, in addition to the financial repercussions that are direct, there's also a sense of a breakdown of the relationship. People feel exploited and they feel that this is a mechanism sometimes to express disdain, and certainly a lack of sensitivity and a lack of regard. So in general, the relationship between people and partners, whether it's business partners, family members, finances, as we know, can be a touchy thing. And when it comes to a husband and a wife, there are so many, today, there are so many financial counselors, and this is how they, correctly so, this is how they present their profession, is that it's not just about regulating financial matters, but the proper regulation of financial matters is really a way of defining a relationship in many cases, or at least in some cases precluding, undermining a relationship. So having said that, Masechet Ksuvos deals with a number of topics, and it's called Ksuvos because many of the topics have to do with the Tanai Ksuva, the Tanai Ksuva, the various conditions. So it's quite obvious that while there's a very strong financial component, we should be on the lookout for the possibility that these are regulated in a particularly sensitive manner, so that it transcends a dine mominis in terms of avoiding insensitivity and hurt, and also promoting, using this as a mechanism that really can encourage a greater sense of commitment and a greater sense of security, in a marriage situation. And that's exactly what this Masechta, is all about. So the Torah speaks, for example, very clearly about, one group of obligations. In Parshas Mishpatim, we're told, and fascinating, that it's in the context of Amma Ivriya. Amma Ivriya is not the typical wife, but the Torah says, that there's some institution called Yiyud, where the Adon, can decide that he wants to marry the Amma Ivriya, or alternatively, he has the right, to be the Shadchan, so that she should marry his son. Ib Libno Yiadena, if he's Miyaid, the Amma Ivriya, to his son, right, Kimishpat HaBanos Yasela, he has to treat her Kimishpat HaBanos, whatever that means. And then the next pasuk says, "V'im acheres yikachlo," and if he marries someone else, meaning this son, then she'erok susava onasa lo yigra, that he should not detract from the first wife, meaning the Amma's, presumably her she'er, her ksus, and her ona. What is she'er, ksus, the ona? So that's a big discussion. Maybe we'll do that topic too, but that's a big discussion in the Gemara, many places in Ksuvos, especially Daf Memvav. Pashtus, and this is what Rashi says on the Torah, and what most of Farshim say, and this is one, certainly one of the prominent views on the Gemara, and this is the Psak of the Rambam as well, that She'er means mizonos, right? His obligation to support his wife. Ksus means malbushim, which is different than mizonos. It could be less, it could be more, but it's certainly different. Clothing has a certain different kind of connotation. Clothing is less nachutz, one might say, less indispensable, but also because of that, ironically, in a way, more symbolic of the opportunity to, project, kavod, and so on. That's ksus. And of course, ona, which bepashtus refers to the intimate marital, relationship. So basically, the Torah says that there's something called ksus, sher ksus v'ona. They're not uniform agreement about this. The Gemara already debates, maybe she'er, what we call she'er mizonos, maybe it's only drabanan, maybe it's a trade-off, mizonosehab, as a trade-off for maisi adeha. The Ramban in his Perush al HaTorah, in Parshas Mishpatim, for example, is of the opinion lahalacha, and it's echoed in his Chidushim and Gittin and Ksuvos as well, that the only one that's really Daraisa is what we call Ona, even though the Torah says She'erok Susa Ve'onasa Lo Yigra. So the Ramban says these are three different dimensions of Ona, basically. That's very fascinating. There are others who think that Ksus and Ona are Daraisa, but not She'er. Anyways, there's a combination. The point is that the Torah speaks in the context of Amma Ivriya, of all contexts, for some reason, about the the obligations that a husband has to his wife, pashtus, at least in terms of she'er and ksus, as well as ona. And there's a discussion, again, in the Mefarshim and in the Moni HaMitzvos, while it's clear that this applies to women, generally, is it, primarily about Amma Ivriya and Kal V'chomer or Kol Shekein other women, or is it primarily about women, but it also extends to Amma Ivriya? Okay, we're not going to get to that at the moment, but that's just the first line, if you will, of the discussion. We're talking about, assuming we're talking about mizonos and ksus, is this symbolic of, a pedestal and, extra, an extraordinary generosity, again, using finances as a way of, projecting devotion and commitment, and so on. And it's investing in the marriage, quite literally. Or no, it's just about the obligation. If somebody is, if people are living together, there needs to be arrangements, especially if one party, has a greater responsibility in the division of labor in a family. And certainly the halachic, model mostly sees, the husband as the worker more. So it isn't so much about Ishus, or what I would call Kiyuman Ishus. It's more about, Hischaibuyos, simply obligations like any other kind of financial arrangement. That's a big, big issue. We're not going to discuss that right now. Obviously, Ona, which is the intimate marital part, by virtue of the fact that it's on the list together with Sharon Ksus, seems to elevate the list and to tell us that even the Sharon Ksus is about the relationship. Unless we assume that Ona is different than Sharon Ksus. There are, for example, a couple of Rishonim who count to more than one lav or more than one mitzvah. All things being equal, though, this is part of the discussion of Sharon Ksus Vion. Similarly, the question arises regarding the Ksuva. The Ksuva is the contract which spells many of these things out. But when we speak about the Ksuva, certainly tonight, we're talking about Ikar Ksuva, namely the amount which is going to be collected in the event that the husband divorces his wife, or that he, you know, predeceases her. So we know that the Besula is entitled to Masayim Zuz. That's the Mishnah here on Daf Yud. Right, Daf Yud Amid Beis, the Mishnah says, Besula Ksuvasa Masayim V'almana Mana. Okay? So then the Mishnah goes on to try to explain what is a Besula, what is an Almana. Is it Almana or is it Be'ula? What exactly it is. But the point is, Besula is entitled to a Ksuvas Masayim, and Almana is entitled to mana. That's called Ikar Ksuva. Later on in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Perek Afalpi, the fifth Perek, the Mishnah speaks about this again, this Ikar Ksuva, and also speaks about the concept of Tosefes Ksuva. If you listen when the person reads the Ksuva under the chuppah, when you go to a wedding, so you'll see there's a reference to the Ikar Ksuva, and then there's a reference to Tosefes Ksuva. V'hosif la min dilei, right, he adds, od mea skukim kesef, sachakol, masayim skukim kesef tsaruf, and so on. Afapi she'omru besula gova masayim v'almana mana, says the Mishnah, imratza lehosif afil mea mana yosef. Right? Then the Mishnah says that nis'armalo, nis'garsha, v'emin erison, v'emin anasuin, gova sakol, rabbi lezer nazayim, v'emin anasuin, gova sakol, v'emin erison, besula gova masayim v'almana mana. Rabbi Yaakov says that if you write more than the amount, more than the Ikar Ksuva, if it's Tosefes Ksuva written in the Ksuva, it's nonetheless only going to be collected if the marriage actually takes place, if the Nisuin part of the marriage takes place. If he dies, Bishas Erison, right, even though there was, she's an Eshashish, and even though the Tosefes was written earlier, The Tosefes doesn't kick in because the assumption is that it was only intended, if they reach phase two of the Ishus. Okay. The point is that there's something called Tosefes Ksuva, but Ikar Ksuva, there's a difference between Besula and Amana, and there's a concept of Ikar Ksuva Masayim in a situation where he either predeceases her or he divorces her. And the question is that obligation Minatorah or Midrabanan? That's question number one. And more importantly for us today is the question, what is the nature of this obligation? So the Gemara, in a number of places, uses the expression, shelo tehe kala b'einav lahotziyam. That the reason, says the Chachamim were metakin eksuva, and the reason they were metakin eksuva was so that he shouldn't be able to walk away from the marriage so easily. Right? It should... The relationship should not be, such a casual one that he can, just decide to marry her on a whim, to divorce her rather on a whim, and precipitously just walk away. It sounds like the Gemaras that say that think that the din of ksuva is a takana, and that it's focused on a particular motivation. The mishlote kalabein of lohotzia. The question is. What if you hold that ksuva is daraisa? Does that same rationale apply? And B, whether it's daraisa or drabanan, do we understand the obligation of ikar ksuva in a narrow way? Namely, it's simply shalote kalabin of lahotziya. Or is it possible, and this is what I'm going to be suggesting, that shalote kalabin of lahotziya is a much broader and much more idealistic notion. And it's the notion that says that, you know, when you know, when two people know, shalote kalabain of lahotzia, that, you know, in a marriage is not something you just walk away from so easily. When you invest financially, you know, to ensure that you don't walk away easily from a marriage, that impacts on the level of trust and the bond, you know, that develops, you know, in that context as well. So I want to try to show that that at least is the view of some of the Rishonim, and to see how that fits into whether this is a biblical or rabbinic obligation, and to try to sort that out a little bit tonight. Yeah.
Let's start the year off right with a question.
Absolutely. Did you expect that I would say no?
No, of course not. But it would seem to me that the Mayim Masayim, if it is to be as the Rav is suggesting, wouldn't that really depend on the affluence of the Baal? It may well be that Masayim to an Ashir is would be Kalabein of the Hotzia. It's garbage.
Right. Oh, no, I understand. But that's true no matter what. I mean, that has nothing to do with my interpretation. Neither Takana says Shalote Kalabein of Lahotzia. So you're just saying, well, shouldn't, like a good economist, you're saying, well, doesn't that depend, you know, on his salary and his holdings and so on? There's obviously a low plug, you know, aspect, as there is in many other cases in halacha. There's a low plug aspect. The assumption is, now, of course, you have to ask the question, what does 200, what does 100 mean? Is it in local, you know, currency? Is it, you know, what we call kesef tsuri? You know, how much is it? We could do that another time. I'm not going to do that right now, but it's a fair question, but has very little. In other words, even if you, whether you take what I call the narrow view, which is that this is to prevent a precipitous decision, you know, which is not well thought out, or which, you know, the halakha doesn't want to encourage, or whether it has broader effect of providing, you know, a sense of confidence, you know, and mutuality, you know, in the entire relationship, which allows for it to develop, you know, in a way that encourages, you know, a davrusha b'kedusha. Either way, your question's a good question. Namely, well, don't salaries and you know, economic, you know, factors come into play? The answer is they might to some extent.
The Tosos will take care of that.
What do you mean?
The Tosos Ksuva will.
Oh, Tosefes. Yeah. So number one, excellent. Tosefes Ksuva. No one has to agree. I mean, she doesn't have to agree without the Tosefes Ksuva.
Tosefes and Mevdoraisa.
No. No. But the point is that they have a minimum, and then if you want to make sure that the sum, you know, also accomplishes the goal, you can always hold out, right? No one forces anyone into marriage, as we'll discuss, right? You're not so sure about that?
You could say the same thing about...
I mean, legally, anyway.
You could say the same thing about Pidyon HaBen.
Yeah, so Pidyon HaBen has a similar problem.
Rothschild should be more than a Pidyon HaBen of some money.
Right, except that in Pidyon HaBen, I think the argument will be made is, no one is saying that it's a kind of a deterrent or and it's meant to accomplish a... Maybe it's a more formalistic requirement. Here, there is a goal, certainly if it's Ksuvah D'Rabbanan, presumably, it's because the rice is even a more ambitious goal, and therefore I think it's a very good question. However, what the coinage, the currency really is a debate. You know, whether it's kesef tzuri, whether it's, you know, we'll see in a minute just an example of that. And either way, as Rabbi Arbisfeld correctly points out, there's always the possibility of raising the ante. You can't lower the ante, but you can raise it. And it's not unusual to have low plugs in halacha. As we know, that doesn't mean the concept is wrong. It just means that there can be circumstances in which, you know, the goals aren't being accomplished, and then, you know, there are always drabbanan mechanisms to try to compensate for that, which is what Tosefes and other things are. Yeah.
How does this jive with Beit Shammai's opinion that you can only divorce your wife out of her irva?
It doesn't work as well for Beit Shammai. We don't paskin that view, as we know. And even Beit Shammai doesn't think that the get will not be chal. That's, you know, what Beit Shammai says is that a person, erva's matzah, erva's davar, you know, in terms of being allowed to be megaresh, you know, requires a very high level of betrayal. But if you were to be megaresh a woman, you know, in which there was no ervas davar, Beis Shammai would not tell you that the get is not chal, right? So even according to Beis Shammai, this remains a factor. Just that it wouldn't be a justified get, and he, you know, there would be some sort of, you know, breach in terms of that.
I would say that something diachas of shilo, he could be megaresh.
If he's asking a shaila, the answer is no. But if he gave her a get, the get would be chal, presumably, right? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So this question is basically again the same kind of a question. To what extent is ksuba about money, in a narrower sense, and accomplishing a narrower goal, or is it about a bigger idea and a bigger picture? So what I'd like to do is just go through some of the makoros about ksuba for a few minutes, and then try to show whether there's a pattern in certain rishonim. Again, I apologize for the clarity, let's say, of the copies, but that's my fault. The Torah itself does not speak about ksuva directly. The question is whether it is hinted at by you know, certain either institutions or phrases in the Torah. So I have a bunch of them here. The Torah says in Bereishis, referring to again Avram Avinu, Ulvilivnei Hapilag Shimasher LaAvram Nasan Avram Matanos, right? Vayishalachem Al Yitzchak Beno Bodenu Chai Kedma El Eretz Kedem. So the Torah speaks here about Bnei Pilagshim Asher LaAvram. Avram had a wife, and he had Pilagshim, concubines. The question is, what is a Pilagesh? Right, and Pilagesh is something that comes up a few places in Tanakh. Question is, what defines Pileg? We know that a Pilegesh is less than a marriage, certainly. For a Melech, at least, it's an accepted or acceptable mechanism. There's a debate in the Rishonim I should already just mention very quickly. The Rambam felt that only a Melech can have a Pilegesh. There's no such thing as a Pilegesh Lehedyot. The Ramban is a Tshuva, and most Rishonim, many Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. Bismanenu, certainly one can't have a Pilegesh. According to the Rambam, no one ever could have a Pilegesh, with the exception of a Melech. But the point is, what is a Pilegesh? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, you have it here, number 4, Mai Nashim Umai Pilagshim, right? The Gemara speaks there about David HaMelech and his Pilagshim. So what is a wife and what is a Pilegesh? So it's a very fascinating Gemara. Gemara says, Amrav Yudam Arav, Nashim Beksuva Vekidushin. Pilagshim below ksuva, below kiddushin. So that's a very interesting comment. Gemara says that the difference between a wife and a pilegesh is both kiddushin and ksuva. Now, what's interesting about it, there are two things that are interesting about it. Number one, this Gemara would seem to imply that ksuva is daraisa, because the category of pilegesh as opposed to nashim is a daraisa distinction, right? That would imply the ksuva is daraisa. Number two, and this is where it gets a little trickier, even if you were to assume that ksuva is daraisa, right, for the moment, it still doesn't seem very intuitive that the Gemara quotes ksuva alongside of kiddushin when it wants to distinguish pilegesh and isha. The reason for that is simple. Once you've said that the distinction lies, or the distinction includes lack of kiddushin, why is it necessary to add that, you know, in addition, there's no ksuva? It seems like the lack of kiddushin is so fundamental that the additional lack of ksuva is kind of beside the point, one would think. Okay. So we'll hold that in abeyance for the moment. It gets a little more complicated when we look at the Mefarsha. So Rashi, on this Pasuk in Bereishis, this is number 2, says, HaPilagshim, Chosaksiv, Shalahaisala Pilagesh Achas, He Hagar, He Ketura. Okay. Only one Pilagesh, fine. And then he adds, Nashim Beksuva, Pilagshim Belo Ksuva, Kidamrinan, Besanhedrin, Benashim, Upilagshim, the David. Quotes the same Gemara in Sanhedrin. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we quoted, that text that we have, says that the difference between a Pilagesh and an Isha is both Kiddushin and Ksuva. And we were wondering why Ksuva, you know, was even mentioned once the more basic distinction of Kiddushin is there. But Rashi, when he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, dropped the Kiddushin. So for Rashi, you have a kind of an opposite problem. And that is it really true that, in addition to what do you read with the Gemara, right? The question is, this is a Yerushalmi that also reads like this Rashi, the Ravid in Perek Aleph Hilchos Ishos Halacha Dalid says that there is such a girsa elsewhere. But the point is the only difference between an Isha and a Pilegesh the Ksuva? If anything, you know, the Ksuva went from being seemingly superfluous, given the distinction of Kiddushin, to being too central. Meaning there really is marriage for a Pilegesh, but the only problem is that there's no Ksuva? That's also surprising. Right? So either way, the Ramban takes on Rashi. But the Ramban doesn't take Rashi. He mentions the Girsa problem. He doesn't ask the question as I just asked it. He asks a more basic question. Ramban says, "V'le'a pilag shim asher l'avram." You can see where I have a check. Rashi kosav nashim b'ksuva, pilag shim shelo b'ksuva. Kida amar b'nashim hu pilag shim de David b'sanhedrin. The Ramban says, "V'eina davar kain, ki lo tikra pilagesh elikashi below kiddushin." Kiaksuva midivrei sofrim, vagirsa b'sanhedrin pilegesh below ksuva v'kiddushin. Basically, the Ramban says, we paskin that ksuva is a din drabanan. If ksuva is a din drabanan, it can't be presumably part of the definition of pilegesh versus isha, because we're talking about psukim in the Torah. And moreover, it's against the girsa of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Ramban rejects Rashi's Peirush. Now, an exact parallel to all this appears later on in Bereishis in the story of Dina and Shechem. Right? So, you know the story. You know, they wanted to, you know, force this Shidduch on Klal Yisrael. So Shechem says, Harbo Alai, this is number 5, Harbo Alai Ma'od Mohar Umaton. The etna kasher toru elai utnuli asanara leisha. I mean, I don't mind paying top dollar, you know, in terms of, you know, securing this marriage. I'll give you whatever you want in terms of what? Mohar and maton. Okay, maton, we know how to translate that. Maton is matana. What's mohar? Right? So mohar also appears in the context of ones, right? Kimohar, we'll see in a minute, Kimohar Habasulos, and in the context of Pitui, where a young girl is seduced, right, and, you know, is, as such, you know, she is violated, the Torah says about that case that he, meaning the violator, is obligated to offer to marry her if the father and the daughter want. And the way the Torah says that is, well, the Torah says, Mohar Yimharena Lo Leisha. So the phrase mohar here in story of Dina and Shechem, right, needs to be coordinated in some way with kimohar habasulos and with mohar, which is made into a verb, obviously yimharena lo leisha. So Rashi says in number 6 mohar ksuva. So this is the second time that Rashi has used the institution of ksuva to explain psukim in the Torah. Before Pilagesh, and now, right, Mohar. The Ramban, in this particular case, isn't as severe, but he does say, Mohar starts off by saying, like Rashi, Mohar Ksuva, Shehu Adavra Nitan Lebesula, something which is given to a Besula, this is number 7, Kidachsiv Kimohar Habesulos, he too makes the connection to the Parsha of Kimohar Habesulos, but then he adds, kind of neutralizing the Ksuva. He starts off by saying it's a ksuva, then he continues and says it's something else. Heim savlanus shabachurim sholchim lebesulos kasher yisu oson. They used to give, the chassan used to send gifts to the kala before the wedding. Right? Very nice.
It's obvious that Shechem wasn't giving ksuva.
How do we know that? Why is that so obvious?
He was Makadosh.
Well, I mean, if there was going to be a marriage between them, maybe it would have been. Or either way, it's the equivalent of a ksuva.
He was a boy at the time.
The difference between
okay,
that
so maybe the that's why they were undergoing a bris milah, right?
That was later.
What do you mean later?
Not at the beginning.
That's what Yaakov Avinu said. He said, I'll marry her and I'll give her a ksuva. And Yaakov Avinu said, not unless you undergo bris milah, my friend, and become Jewish. right?
But that wasn't his intention when he said that.
We don't know what his intentions were one way or another, right?
I mean, that's not good intentions.
They definitely weren't the intentions of his sons Shimon and Levi. Right? Yeah.
What's the difference between
they characterized it as making her into a zono.
They did. And that's why they butchered the city. And that's why Yaakov Avinu said, Achartemosi. And, you know, you shouldn't have done that. Right? So, but, you know, again, it's a complicated parsha. There's Shimon and Levi, and there's Yaakov Avinu. But there's every good reason to think that Yaakov Avinu had agreed to this, and that as a precondition there would be Geirus, and that there would be a proper marriage between them. Again, Shimon and Levi said, HaKazona Nasa, you know, Achoseinu. Fine. Or, you know, Nivala be Yisrael. But, you know, that's not what Yaakov Avinu said. Either way, it doesn't make a difference. This is how Rashi interprets. The Ramban here strongly disagrees. Yeah.
If a Pelegesh has neither a Ksuva or Kedusha, makes her a Pelegesh?
Oh, excellent. So it's the Ravid will tell you that they have an arrangement. It isn't just a casual physical liaison. But this is a more consistent, ongoing relationship. That's the Ravid's view in Perek Aleph Hilchos Ishos. Do we have the Hilchos Ishos here? I'm guessing, right? To start the season off properly. Okay, the Rambam here in Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid, very, very restrictive. Rambam in Hilchos Malachim is very restrictive about Pilegesh. The Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Ishos Halacha Dalid is very expansive about what we call Kedesha. He says here, Koda Matan Torah, Oida Pogea Isha Bishuk, Imratza Huvihi Nosin Loschara, Bola Salaema Derech Maholechlo, you know, a kind of a, you know, prostitution kind of a thing. Vizuya Nikras Kadesha, right, that was permissible Koda Matan Torah. Misha Nitna Torah Nasra Kadesha, says the Rambam, after Matan Torah, that's absolutely prohibited. Shenemer Losia Kadesha Mibnos Israel, Lefikach Kolabol Isha Lashem's Nus, below Kidusha, there are two ways to read this Rambam, but the way I'm reading it, the way many Mepharshim read it, I think the compelling way to read it is, any relationship, physical relationship outside of marriage is by definition considered znus, and lokem in Torah shabal kadesha. So the Ravid comments on this, doesn't like it, says, Omer Avram ein kadesha ele mezumenes, v'hi mufkeres lekol adam. If she is, this is a casual,
promiscuous.
And promiscuous, exactly, to anyone, that's called a kadesha. Aval, Hamiachedes atzma leish echad, that would be a kind of pilegesh. Ein ba lo malchus v'lo iser lav. Vehi ha pilegesh. The Ravid was answering your question. He ha pilegesh haksuva. Now you have to understand that the Rambam, that's the Ravid's answer. The answer that I gave you is the Ravid's answer. Meaning there's an ongoing relationship between him. No ksuva, no kiddushin, but, you know, a faithful relationship in some respect between them, as long as it lasts.
Common law what?
Common law marriage.
Common law marriage, okay. So basically, then he goes on to speak about this in the Girsa, Yesvarm Shukasa Bahem, Hapilegesh Kiddushin Beloksuva. Mikomokom Ein Isar Lav, Elabim Zamenes Atzma Lecholodam. Now, the Rambam disagrees. The point is that the Rambam thinks even if this is an exclusive relationship, if it's outside of marriage, according to the Rambam, it's prohibited. It's Kadesha. There's no such thing as a permissible Pilegesh, says the Rambam, except for Hilchos Malachim, a Melech. And the Rambam explains this. We'll get to it hopefully in a couple of minutes, because only a Melech, right, when you're the concubine of a king, there's a stature in that, a status in that, and there are consequences to that. Right? The concubine of the Melech doesn't walk away from the Melech so easily either. So the point is that there is, based on the personalities involved and the stakes and the way that it's perceived by others, so a pilegesh of a melech is a different chalos, you call it. But there's no such thing as a pilegesh for a hedyot according to the Rambam. A pilegesh for a hedyot is a kadesha, basically.
When the melech is warned,
layar below
nashim, too many horses and too many.
Yeah, that's part of the story.
The kolel.
Excellent, excellent. So the Rambam and the Ravid debate that point.
Uh-huh.
And the Rambam Lashitaso says that the Pilegesh of a Melech is part of his 18 wives.
Okay.
And that's exactly consistent, because what the Rambam did was two things. By telling you that Kiddushin alone, I believe all the Rambams are connected. In general, I believe that. But, you know, in Ishus, I think, you know, we can really demonstrate it. So what the Rambam really did was, he you know, he really was this strong believer in exclusive marriage, and you know, there not being other mechanisms that are acceptable, with the one exception of Melech for the reason that I'm talking about. But because of that, he upgraded Pilegesh. You know, where to, in the one place where it works is a quasi-ishus. And therefore, the 18 include the Pilegesh. Whereas the Raibid says, no, the 18 don't include the Pilegesh, because the Raibid thinks there's such a thing as Pilegesh Lahedjot too. Pilegesh is not a form of marriage. It's not a quasi-marriage. So that, I think, is absolutely Lashitasa. Anyways, getting back to it. So the Ramban on this point again, Rashi says Ksuva. And the Ramban here is, you know, a little bit, you know, ambiguous about it, maybe because of your consideration, Primata Torah, B'nai Noach, and so on and so forth. But in the third context, which I think I have the wrong, I don't know why I did that, but I made a mistake. But I have the Imayin Yamayin Ha'aviyah Lasisa Lo Kesef Yishko Kemora Besulos, which is Ones. I should have brought the Pitui Pasuk, which is Mohar Yimharena Lo Leisha. So on Mohar Yimharena Lo Leisha, Rashi says, marry her with a ksuva. And the Ramban jumps in again and says, Rashi's wrong, because ksuva is only drabanan, exactly what he said about Pilegesh, and a ksuva being drabanan cannot be the pshat in a pasuk in the Torah. But if you ask me, there's a bigger problem with Rashi, the same problem that parallels Rashi's definition of Pilegesh, and that is, if I wanted to tell you that in the context of a pitui, right, of a seduction, right, of a child, exploitation, right, that there has to be an offer of marriage. So how would I say that if I was writing it? I wouldn't say, I wouldn't convey he has to marry her by saying he has to give her a ksuva. If I wanted to say he has to marry her or offer to marry her, I'd say he has to offer to marry her. We know plenty of, you know, proper ways to say that in Hebrew.
Yiteno lo leisha.
Yeah, or yisosa, or yischaten ba, right? According to Rashi, the words mohar, yimharena, lo leisha means, you know, ksuva her as your wife. And he took the mohar, which is a noun, and he made a verb out of it. The Torah made a verb out of it. But the question that we want to know is, and this is not the question that Ramban asks. Ramban's asking much more. Ramban's just saying, Ksuva's Rabbanon, so what are they talking? What's Rashi talking about? Right? Same Ramban. What I'm asking is, I don't say Ksuva was Doraisa, so the way that you signify get married is by saying, give her a Ksuva? That's strange. In a way, it's a parallel to the question I asked before. Right? The difference between Pilegesh and Isha is Mimanoshach. If it's Kedushin and Ksuva, why are you mentioning Ksuva? It's trivial. If it's only Ksuva, is that really possible? That the only point of difference between Isha and Pilegesh? I mean, there is Kedushin, but there's no Ksuva that makes you into a Pilegesh?
Monetary penalty is what produces a Kedushin.
So that, what do you mean? It produces the Kedusha or Kedushin?
They're complex.
What did you say?
I mean, the fact that he has to give her... Torah wanted to penalize him that he has to pay money.
Okay.
So the money comes before the Kedushin.
Well, but that's not the way to say that he has to... Rashi's saying the word... Mori Rana Lalisha means he has to... Means he has to offer to marry her. That's what the words mean.
Yeah, but it's...
If you're going to say the way to express that is to say he has to give her a ksuva?
I'm trying to say according to what you said
before. Oh, okay, you're anticipating my... I hear. Yeah, exactly. But I just want to prove it. Yeah. Let me have my dramatic flair. Yeah.
Want to say it the way the Torah says it in Kisetze?
Yeah.
L'kachalol l'isha.
Good, exactly.
I mean, that's 100%. That's as straightforward as it gets.
Yeah, you're agreeing with me. That's rare. Thank you. Okay. No, I agree, obviously. So the same Ramban, the Ramban's critique here, is basically, the Ramban is an equal opportunity critic. You know, the Ramban is immensely, I've said this in the past, it always bears repeating. He's an immensely consistent thinker, you know. So, he has very strong view. He sometimes changes his mind, but, you know, he criticizes Rashi three times in his Perush Al HaTorah, and he's equally critical when he thinks that the Rambam did the same thing. So what did the Rambam do? And the truth is the Rambam did the same thing as Rashi, but it's even worse. Okay. So the Ramban, let's take the Ramban and Rambam first. If you look here on page 5, number 24, you have Lo Sase Shin Nun Hey. Everybody have that? Yeah? Hamitzvah Shniya. I'm sorry, Hamitzvah Shin Nun Hey. Sorry. The 355th mitzvah. Lav, he says, Hiranu, we're being warned, Shelo Lavo al Isha, Belo Ksuva, Belo Kiddushin. Hu Amar Yisbarach, Lo Siya Kadesha, Mibnos Yisrael. The Torah says, Lo Siya Kadesha, Mibnos Yisrael. That's this week's Parsha that we just read, right? Parsha's Kiseitse, right? So, the Rambam's explaining what's a Kadesha. What does he say? Isha, Belo Ksuva, Belo Kiddushin. Where do you get that from? That's what the Gemara says about Pilegesh. Pilegesh is the same as a Kadesha? The answer is for the Rambam, it is. Right? The Rambam Shita, Nuchas Malachim, is that it is. The Rambam Shita, Perek Aleph, Hilchos, Ishos, Halacha Dalet, is that it is. That's perfectly consistent. But then what emerges is something very remarkable. What is the Rambam saying? That basically, Pilegesh equals Kadesha, and both equals lack of Kiddushin and lack of Ksuva. Right? So the Ramban here, look at the next piece, 25. You know, the Ramban wrote Hasagos when he thought the Rambam was wrong. Kosov Rava Mitzvah, Shlosh Meos, V'chamishim, V'chamishim, Nimnu Milivo, Belo Ksuva, V'kiddushin, Omar, Yloi, Siya, Kadesh, V'dos Yisrael, V'shar Deber Rav. Hine Zeh Alav, Al Koponim, Lav, Shebeminyan Hu. He said he's right to count Kadesha as a Lav. U'kvar Heitiv, Harav, Pshato Bal Techalas Bitchalazosa. And some of the pshat that he says also is really very good. Aval dvaru b'ksuva v'kiddushin eino emes. That's just wrong. Sha'aksuva eino min ha-Torah klal. V'kiddushin mitzvah v'kinyan v'isha. He says, mentioning ksuva here is both actually are wrong. Because you can have non-kiddushin and not a pilegesh and a kadesha. We can have pilegesh, but not a kadesha. Put it that way, according to the Ramban, because the Ramban thinks there is room for pilegesh. Moreover, ksuva can't be part of any Doraisa definition because ksuva is only Darabanan. Now, if you look at the Rambam in number 23, Hilchos Malachim, Perek Dalid, Halacha Dalid, Rambam says, V'chein lokeach mikol gvut, we're speaking about a melech, because that's the only one you can have it for. That's what I was saying before. The Rambam is incredibly restrictive, right? The melech can have nashim and pilagshim. Nashim b'ksuva b'kiddushin. Once again, quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the same line that he quotes where? In Sefer HaMitzvos regarding Kadesha. U'pilagshim b'lo ksuva b'lo kiddushin ela b'yichud b'lvad konosa umuterislo. Aval ahedyot, here's where he says that a hedyot can't have a pilagesh. Aser b'pilagesh ela b'ama ivriya b'lvad achar yud. It's interesting that he compares Yud of Am Ivriya and Pilegesh of Melech. Both of them have a relationship by virtue of this more informal kesher. The Rav used to say that this line in the Rambam is where the Rambam is saying that Yud for an Amma and Pilegesh for a Melech are Kiddushin or Ishus B'li Maisa Kiddushin. Okay, I think that's true, and it's even more than that. Hopefully we'll get back to it. Anyways, the point is that the Rambam consistently quotes ksuva, or the lack of ksuva, when he defines pilegesh, right in Hilchos Malachim, just as he uses it to define kadesha in Sefer Mitzvos. Rambam, similarly, Rambam, if you look at the koter, what? I'm sorry? Yisrael? Different kind of malachim, right? So, okay. Look at the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, the Koteret. This is number 17, page 4. This is the Rambam's Hakdama to Sefer Nashim, where he says, Yesh Bechlalan Arba Mitzvos. Right, there are four mitzvos in Sefer Nashim. Shtei mitzvos aseh, shtei mitzvos lo saseh, two positive, two negative. Zeu praton. Here they are. These are the details. A. Lisa Isha. What again? B'ksuva v'kiddushin. What's ksuva doing there? Right, again, I mean, it's a problematic formulation. Anyway, we'll talk about it. But Lisa sounds like Nisuin. Do Nisuin with ksuva. Ksuva is even mentioned before kiddushin, even though that's a strange order. It's also the strange, again, once you're mentioning kiddushin, why do you mention ksuva? What does ksuva have to do with the mitzvah to marry? Anyway, even if it's daraisa, it's a strange formulation, right? Then comes number base, shalot tivali, shabalot ksuva v'kiddushin. That's the Rambam's reference to Kadesha again, right? So again, it's below ksuva. It's a quotation of what he says about Pilegesh and what he says. It's basically mitzvah shinun hei, lav shinun hei, hilchos melachim perek dalet halacha dalet, and the koteret to hilchos ishus, mitzvah aleph and base. In all four places, the Rambam is inserting ksuva, even when it either seems to be superfluous or just plain wrong, right? What is going on there? What's particularly problematic about all of this, you know, has not even yet been said. And that is what the Ramban critiques. Ramban says both about Rashi and about the Rambam, right, that they made a big mistake because there's a debate in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, we'll see in just a moment, whether ksuva is daraisa or ksuva is drabanan. Ramban says, we paskin ksuva is drabanan. Ksuva's drabanan, it can't be the yisod of Pilegesh, it can't be the yisod of Kadesha, it can't be part of the mitzvah of Kiddushin Doraisa, it's only drabanan. Oh. There's another Rambam, just to reinforce it further, and that is the Rambam in Hilchos Nara Basula. See on the bottom of the page, number 21. The Rambam says as follows. Hamefuta, again that's pitui, right, we talked about before, seduction. Shelo ratza lehinase lemefata, right? She doesn't want to get married to this scoundrel, right? Who can blame her, right? O shelotza lotza via litna, or the father doesn't want. O shelo ratza hu litna, so he refuses. Hareza noten dosen knasa v'holech, then it has to be the payment of the knas. Vein kofenos alichnos, vein ratzu v'kinsa. Let's say they did get married. Enu mishalim knas, elikosev laksuva kishara besulos. Okay, basically the Rambam says that if the mefata, the mefuta, the father, if they all agree that there's going to be a marriage, so if there's a divorce, then she receives the ksuva of a besula. What's the chiddush? Because she's not a besula, right? She was a mefuta, meaning she was a beula before the erusin. So why does she get the ksuva of a besula? Okay, that's what the Rambam says. Now there's no Gemara that says this. Hey, this is the Rambam's, as far as we know, original psak. The Mishnah Melech points this out. He says, where did the Rambam get this from? There's no Gemara that says this. And it's not obvious, because there's no Gemara. And she's not a Basula. So if she's not a Basula and there's no Gemara, how does the Rambam know this? Right? So the Mishnah Melech says, I think I know the answer. What's the answer? He said the Rambam read the Gemara, and I'm sorry, the Rambam read the Psukim like Rashi. What does Rashi say? Mahar gimarena leisha means giver ksuva. I mean, giver ksuva's besula. Meaning he's the one who's responsible for the fact that she's not a besula. You know, if she marries somebody else, she's not going to get the ksuva of a besula. Mahar gimarena leisha means give her a ksuva like a basula and marry her. So that's how the Rambam knew. He knew it from the psukim. That's very inspiring. So the Mishnah Melech says, except for one problem. One little problem. And that is that the Rambam, and this is the Ramban's problem with the Rambam too. Oh, let me take one step back. So the Ramban, in Mitzvah Shinun Hei, Kadesha says, how can the Rambam bring in ksuva, right? It's only drabanan. So the Megillas Esther, which is a perush on the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvah, says, how does the Ramban know that the Rambam holds Ksuvah Daraisa? There's a debate whether Ksuvah Daraisa or Drabanan. So then I think it's the Kinasof, remember, one of the other Mepharshim on the Sefer Mitzvah says, what? The Megillas Esther just has to open up Hilchas Ishas. Right? If the Rambam says it once, he says it five times, or seven times, And that is like Ksuva is Drabanan. We'll get to those in just a second. If the Rambam really holds, let's just give you an example. Look at Perek Aleph, Halacha. Where do I have these Rambams? Second.
19.
19? I don't know why mine are upside down, but... Are yours upside down? Just mine upside down. So the... look at 18 for a moment. Right? Tzorech lichtov ksuva kodim knisa l'chupa v'achra kiyem muta b'ishto hachasen nosen tzchara sofer kamu kosev la im hoysen besulein kosen pachas mimasayim dinarim im buulein kosen pachas mimeya dinarim v'zeo anikra ikar ksuva. Im ratza l'hosif, if he wants to add, afilu kikar zahav, that's the answer to the economic problem, right? Even a fortune, you know, he could, meaning she could also insist that he do it, otherwise she feels unprotected, right? Or v'dina tosefes v'dina ikar echad l'rov ha'dvarim l'fik chomokav shenemar ksuva stam hu ha'ikar v'tosefes ki echad. That's a big issue. And then he adds in the end, v'chachamim heim shetiknu ksuva l'isha v'chachamim legislated ksuva kedei shelote kala be'enav lehotzia. Okay? The Rambam mentions this again in Halacha Yud. I have a little check there towards the end of it. Shelo tiknu ksuva lekadesh shelo tia kalabein of lahotzia. Right? Look at number 19. Perkid Aleph Halacha Yudan. Chakamim meim shetiknu ikar ksuva leisha. Heim etkinu v'amr shakal atoin tainis besulim v'isha makhasas neman. Right? Look at number 20. Halacha Gimel kvar danu shakachamim tiknu ksuva leisha. Dina tasefas adina ikar. Lo tiknu legvosa kolzman shetirza. Look at halacha above there. B'chei mikulek suva shetita lisha ksuva minapacha shevet matbeos. And so on. No dearth of examples where the Rambam says that the dinam of ksuva are only drabanan. So if the Rambam holds ksuva as drabanan, it's not the questions we ask on Rashi. It's hard to know what Rashi holds. Right? Rabbeinu Tam, for example, get to in just a couple of minutes, hopefully. Rabbeinu Tam seems to paskin that ksuva is daraisa. It's not impossible to think that Rashi holds ksuva daraisa. So he interprets the psukim in Bereishis and in Shmos, you know, according to that view. The Rambam thinks it's drabanan. Fine, that there's nothing to project that on Rashi. But in the case of the Rambam, right, it seems like a much stronger claim, because the Rambam all over Hilchos Ishos, starting from Perek Yud, which is the Nisuin parts of Hilchos Ishos, is telling you that it's a takana and it's a takana derabanan. So how can it be part of the that you read Maria Morena Lola Isha as referring to a ksuva, as besula? How can it be that Pilagshim and Knesha and the mitzvah of Kiddushin and the Isser of Bli Kiddushin, all of which are daraisas, are about ksuva or lack of ksuva? Right? So the just to highlight it further, the Gemara in Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis, Mishnah Kuf Yud Amud Beis, discusses the status of ksuva. Kuf Yud Amud Beis, 110b. Everybody's with me? Towards the end of the, it's already at the end of the Masechta. See, like that? One day. One more daf and we're done. Okay.
One seal.
What's that?
The seal.
We're ready for a seal. You'll take care of the food? Kol ha'malin l'eretz Yisrael. Right, ha'kol ma'alin l'eretz Yisrael. Ah, ve'en ha'kol motzi'in. There's a dispute between a husband and wife. Right, about living in Eretz Yisrael, the one who wants to, I don't know whether I should be publicizing this, but the one who wants to go live in Eretz Yisrael is the one who wins out. Okay? In terms of the consequence, in terms of the ksuva. Echad anoshim, echad noshim, it doesn't matter which one wants what, whichever one wants, the Eretz Yisrael is in a stronger position. Then the Mishnah says, Nosa isha b'Eretz Yisrael v'girsha b'Eretz Yisrael, Nosa lo mimos Eretz Yisrael. If a person gets married in Eretz Yisrael and divorced in Eretz Yisrael, then the you know, the ksuva has paid me most Eretz Yisrael. Now, what this means exactly, this goes back to the question I alluded to before when you asked me about the, you know, financial part of it. Does this mean the, in other words, is a quantity and the currency is you know, depends on the land that you are associated with? That would be a huge chiddush about the value of the ksuva, right? Or is it referring to currency, meaning the amount, the value is the same, whatever that is, right? But the question is, in what coinage, as, you know, the economists will tell you, right? I mean, that can matter too. You know, whether you get paid in a more efficient currency, a less efficient currency, how, you know, how difficult it is, you know, to exchange, right? There are exchange issues. They also have a certain financial, but obviously much less than if the value in a more upfront, substantive way is affected. Okay. Either way, the Mishnah goes on to say, now it gets interesting. Let's say he got married in one place, Eretz Yisrael, and he got divorced in Kaputkia. So the Mishnah says, Nosin Lomimos, Eretz Yisrael. The whether it's the currency or the amount, whatever it is, the Eretz Yisrael figure is Koveya.
But the Lashon of Zuzib is it's Eretz Yisrael Lashon.
What?
The currency in the
well, it depends.
Wording of the ksuva.
Yeah. That's right. Right. Question is, what does that mean? Right. Is it Tsuri? Is it Medina? Is it local? These are all debates. All debates. Nasa Isha b'Kaputkia b'Girsha b'Eretz Yisrael. Now, that's where it gets real tricky. So they got married in Kaputkia, then they moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they got divorced in Eretz Yisrael. So we would expect, based on the previous psak, that it should depend on
where
they got married. Right? But if it depends on where you got married, then it would be Mos Kaputkia. But here the Mishnah says, no Sein Lami Mos Eretz Yisrael. So what's going on? And then the Mishnah says, Rav Shmuel Gamliel Omer, no Sein Lami Mos Kaputkia. You do pay Kaputkia money. Then finally, the last case, which is not controversial, no Sein Lami Mos Kaputkia, V'gir Sein Lami Mos Kaputkia, no Sein Lami Mos Kaputkia. So the Gemara itself asks this question. Skip down to the two dots where they're in the wide lines, three lines, six lines into the wide lines, Nasa Isha, the Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha, Ketani Nasa Isha Beretz Yisrael, Vigisha Bekaputkia, Nosein, Mimos, Eretz Yisrael, right? The implication, Alma, is that Basar Shibuda, Azlinan, that what determines is where they got married. That's when the initial Ischaivus was made, right? That he would give her X amount of money, where they are. Eva Seifa, Nasa Isha Bekaputka, Vigirsha Beretz Yisrael, Nosein Lomimos, Eretz Yisrael. But in the second case, Alma, Basar, Guvayna Azlinan. It seems like it depends not on the source, but on the collection. So the Gemara says, Amarava, Mikule Ksuva, Shanukan, Ksavar, Ksuva, Drabanan. If Ksuva is only Drabanan, so we take the lesser. They assume that Eretz Yisrael's finances, you know, they inflate, which was true until very recently. I mean, it's like a little pocket, the last like decade or so is like a huge exception, at least in modern times, right? Eretz Yisrael's economy used to be, you know, you just said the words and you imagined inflation, right? You know, certainly not a stable currency, but it's been amazing for the last, you know, while. Anyways, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Nosein Lami Mos Kaputkia, what does he hold? Kasavar Ksuva Doraisa. So this is a machlokas in the Mishnah already, and there's a huge Daf Gemina. Now, what does the Rambam hold about this? Ah, so to hold off on this for a moment, there are two other issues that the Gemara raises on Daf Yud Amud Aleph in Ksuvas. Sugya Daf Yud says as follows. Itmar, top of the page. Omar Rav Shmuel Mishum Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Chachamim tiknu lehem lebnos Yisrael lebesulam asayim ulamana mana. The Chachamim are the ones who legislated Ksuva to begin with, and these are the amounts they legislated. Behem heminu, and they decided to trust the husband, Shemar Pesach Pasuch Matzasi Neman, that if he claims that physically she was not a Basula as she presented or represented herself to be, we believe him. I mean, normally, says Rashi, we really shouldn't believe him, because basically he's trying to get out of his obligation of Ksuvas Masayim, and he should say he needs Eidim, Motzei Mechaver, all of Araya. She's in the position of strength. Why that's true exactly is also debate, but that's the assumption of the Gemara. But nonetheless, since it's a rabbinic takana to begin with, the rabbis decided to believe him.
So the Gemara says, Who's the Motzei Mechaver?
That's a good question. That's really debate between the Ramban and the Ran here. The Gemara is assuming for the moment that he's the Motzi, and nonetheless, we believe him because it's Rabbana. That's not so simple, because in a way, she's trying to get the money from him. Right. I think it's connected to this issue, but no, they will get back to it. The Chachamim were metakein the Ksuva Shalotei Kalabein of Lohotziah. He can always just say Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, right? So the Gemara says, Amarava Chazaka Einam Torech Nesudim Afsida. He's going to make this massive wedding, you know, spend all this, all of his, you know, hard-earned, you know, money for years and years, and then he's going to turn around and he's going to say it's going to be worth his while to lie just so he can save the Ksuva. So we believe him. That's the idea. Then the Gemara says, Tana, holu knas chachamim u lo tigva lemin ziburis. Since ksuva is only a knas, a penalty, then when you collect it from karka, you could collect for the worst karka, ziburis, not from idis or beinanis. So the Gemara says, knasa, what do you mean it's a punishment? My knasa, el eima hovet akonis chachamim lo tigva lemin ziburis. Then the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, however, says, ksuva sishem in HaTorah. Did he really say that? But Tanya, Kesef Yishkol Kamor Besulos, Shezek Kamor Besulos, and Mor Besulos Kazeh, Mikan, Sam Kachachamim, the Ksuvas Isha, and Torah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Ksuvas Isha, Eina Midibre Torah, Midibre Sofrim, Epoch. Switch that. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds it to Raisa. My Chazes to Apchis Basraisa, Epoch Kamaisa. How do you know which one to switch? The Gemara says, because they so again the end of the Mesachta. Basically, the Gemara here has three issues that they link in this sugya to ksuva being daraisa and rabbanan. One is mos eretz yisrael and mos kaputkia, which either means how much you pay, or at least the currency with which you pay, which is somehow consequential, right? That's one. Number two, whether we believe him when he says she doesn't deserve a ksuva because Pesach Pasuch Matzasi, do we say Hey Mamru Vehey Mamru? Number three, does she collect Miziburis for the worst because it's only Drabanan, or for something better? Okay, how does the Rambam paskin in these cases? So the Rambam in all three of these cases paskins that ksuva is Drabanan. Well, look here, for example, the Rambam says. Look again, number 19. Perkel of Halachidah. Now you recognize it. Chachamim hem shetiknu ika ksuva l'isha hem etkinu v'amru shekol atoin tainis besulim v'isha makheshes neman. That's the Gemara just said that we just read. We believe him to say Pesach Pasuach Matzasi katzolim drabanan. Right? Next. Look at Halacha Vav, Perek Tezayin Halacha Vav, number 20, but the second entry, number 20. V'chei mekulei ksuva shetitol isha ksuvasa min apachos shebimadbeos. Right? She should get it in a lesser currency. Keitzad nasa isha b'makom b'gir shebimakom acher, imaya mos makom anisuin, tovos mimos makom agerishin, nosan mimos makom agerishin, and so on. He skips the Eretz Yisrael, he just translates it into whichever is the lesser amount. B'kulei ksuva shanuka. The Rambam likewise paskins that look at halacha gimel. Kfar udanu shel chachamim tiknu ksuva l'isha dina tasefes kedina ikar lo tiknu l'gvosa l'kozman shetirtza ela harei hi kechov sheish zman vein ksuva nigves ela l'achar misa saval l'gersha v'chein et kinu shimai abal sados tovos v'ra'os u'bein onios u'bai shel l'gvos ksuvasa l'imenu shel lo tikva l'min ha'ra shevin chasa v'hi anikres diburis. On the three issues of the Gemara here, the Rambam paskins in every one of them that ksuva is rabbana. So how can you say it's part of the mitzvah, part of the Isser, part of the Knesha, part of the Pilegesh? It's the way to read the Pasuk in Nara Basula. What's going on? There are a couple of other Rambams. I'll leave them for, you know, We'll have one more session on this after, you know, after Yantar. But let me just explain what I think is the punchline here. And that is as follows. I should also add that there's one other issue just to mention very quickly. In the Ashkenaz Nusach HaKsuba that we, in other words, that we have, it says, when it talks about the Ksuba, it says, Dechazi Lechi Midaraisa. Right? Look at Tosas here on Yudam and Aleph. Tosas says, Mashma, top of the page, Mashma the Ksuba Drabanan. Right? Seems from the Sugya that Ksuba is Drabanan. Vechem Ba'isha Rabba, Gabi Ein La Ksuba Kamar, Mai Tama, Tekin Rabbanan Ksuba Shalotei Kala Bein of Lotzia, Alma Stamad Ashas Ksavar Ksuba Drabanan. Vekasha, Denogu Lichta Biksuba, Ashkenazi Ksubos, we write, Kesev Zuze Masan, 200 Zuz, Dechazi Lechi Midaraisa, Minatora. So the Tosa says, Omar Benu Tam, the Samchin and Arbshim and Gamliel. We paskin like, well, either Tosa says we're in the language we're Samech and Arbshim and Gamliel. Most views of Rabbeinu Tam, with the exception of Shittu Gubetzes, which thinks it's a little more complicated, say Rabbeinu Tam paskins Ksuva Doraisa. Okay? But the Rambam paskins Ksuva Drabana. But if you look at Hilchos Yibum, the Chalitza, there are two different Kisve, in the Kisve Yad of the Rambam, the Frankel ones published the Chazi Lechi without Doraisa. That's probably correct. In the old printed Rambams, the manuscript that was based on, they published the Chazi Lechi Midoraisa. If there's any possibility that it's right, it's sensational. It's exactly Tosa's question. If Ksuv is Rabbanan, how can you write the Chazi Lechi Midoraisa? Now, but for the Rambam, it's a little more complicated because the Rambam's seems to be having, you know, his cake and eating it too anyway. So what's going on with Rashi? What's going on with the Rambam? And I think the answer is, now we get back to the point, what I said before. And that is, let's take the Rambam. Let's take Rashi. Rashi maybe holds Ksuba D'Raisa, maybe holds Ksuba D'Rabbanan, I'm not sure. But what's interesting about Rashi is the interpretation that Mar Yomareno means marry her, and that's signified by giving her a Ksuba. Why not just say get married? Right. Similarly, if whether you have the gears of kiddushin, yes or no, pilegesh, right, is associated with the absence of a ksuva. Either ksuva's role is too much, or ksuva's role is too superfluous. But what's going on there, right? Ah. But if we take the view that ksuva is just a narrow monetary obligation and protection, shalote kalabein of lotzi, I mean, he shouldn't get angry. You know, and he shouldn't do anything precipitous. We want to prevent that. That's one thing. But if we take the view that I was suggesting before, which is that Shalote Kalabien of Lotzia has a broader meaning, mainly the woman in this relationship who can be Miskareshes, Balkorcha, Minatora, at least, for Chem Rabbeinu Gershon, should not feel vulnerable in this relationship. She shouldn't feel that he can behave cavalierly. Right, and casually with her, because that will, number one, that's an obstacle for the Davar Shebekdusha and the intimacy of their relationship. Moreover, again, it doesn't allow for the really development of a mutuality and a bond, an existential bond between them, because she doesn't have security. When we say Shalote Kalabein of Lohotzia, what we mean, the Ran certainly Alatar, thinks that that's part of the Ksuva D'Raisa, Shalote Kalabein of Lohotzia. What we mean is not that he shouldn't be angry and divorce her in a single minute. What we mean is they should both know from the outset, right, that this is not a casual relationship. You don't walk away from it easily. If there are difficulties, then they have to be, you know, addressed and overcome. And both sides should have a sense of security and confidence, you know, in their part of the relationship. That secures the government. It's money in the service of Ishus and Kedusha. So then Rashi saying is perfect. Whether or not Pilegesh also refers to the absence of Kedushin, you know, whether it only refers to the absence of Ksuva or also refers to the absence of Kedushin, the emphasis on Ksuva is precisely to highlight this component. Namely, you don't walk away from marriage casually and easily. That's the difference between Ishus and Pilegesh. And when the Torah wants to tell you that when you exploited this young girl, you seduced her, right? She didn't have the capacity really, you know, to refuse, basically what you did was the opposite of a davar shebekdusha, and the only way to make it right, is at least to offer to marry her. But instead of saying offer to marry her, the Torah says mahar yimarena lalisha, marry her with a ksuvas basula, meaning you treated her cavalierly in a way which is completely antithetical to what a ksuvas intended to accomplish and to inject into a marriage, and therefore what you're supposed to do now, even though she's actually a ba'ula, is to treat her with the respect that she's due, and that, you know, maybe can neutralize the damage that you've done. So I think that it's possible to suggest that this is the pshat in the Rambam too. The Rambam thinks that the details of ksuvah are drabban. Therefore, Neman, Lomar, Pesach, Pasuach, Heimam, Ruvay, Marmu, the amount is drabbanon, the conditions of Nemanus, what he's going to be gove, which kind of coins, which kind of land, Ziburis, Idis, Beninis, all of that's drabbanon. The Torah didn't spell any of that out. But the concept of Kimoar Habasulos, or Mohar Yamarena Leisha, which means find a way, right, to express respect and to inject this sense of permanence or confidence or security into the marriage, that the Rambam thinks is Doraisa. And therefore the Rambam says, Lisa Isha Biksuva Vikidushin. Right? And Shalo, right, Tival Isha below Ksuva below Kidushin. When the Rambam wants you to know that Pilegesh, you know, is limited to a melech, you know, he's basically telling you it's below ksuva. And that's the reason, below kedusha, below ksuva. It's not superfluous. It's a way of highlighting what is absent, what's the missing ingredient, you know, which is ma'akev. And that's the Rambam's pshat in Kadesha as well. Yeah.
What we've discussed so far tonight is the ksuva acting as a break on the behavior of the husband.
Well, I'm saying more than a break on the behavior.
But it's a break on the behavior of the woman. That she has to be careful with her behavior, because otherwise she can forfeit her ksuva.
That's also true. But that's not... that is true in the halacha, but that's not so much the focus of the takana. The takana shelo tehei kala be'enav lahotzia. It's really a protection for her, initially. It also allows, like any takana, you know, there has to be some reciprocity, because any side can abuse, the constructive, you know, intention of the chachamim. But shalote kalamein of lotzi is really her protection. It's kind of an equalizer, because he has the ability to be megarisher balkarcha. So it isn't so much a break on his behavior as much as it is a way, I'm suggesting, a broader way of injecting a sense of security, which allows the two of them to develop a bond which is beneficial for both, and which is the framework of Kedusha within which the marriage can operate. And if that's the case, by the way, the language of the Chazi Lechimid Araisa might work for the Rambam too. I don't know whether it's the right Girsa, it probably isn't. But it's not so bad, meaning on a Daraisa level, the concept of Ksuva is applicable, right? Even if the details of the Ksuva, less so. So I want to follow this up in the Rambam and in general, in one more shir after Yom Tov, but yeah.
Is it Rambam viewed as Nasei or Los Asse?
He has it in both. In the Koteret, he has it in the Mitzvah Asei, Lisa Isha Biksuv Vikidushin, and Shaloti Vail below, and then he has it again in Kadesha, which is the same thing, which is Lav. He mentions it in both. And it makes sense in both. And that's the difference between Pilegesh and Isha.
But the Los Asse would be more powerful.
Yeah, but he certainly has it in the Los Asse. But he also has it by saying it's part of what Ishus is, as opposed to Pilegesh, and by the Koteret, Lisa Isha Biksuva Vikidushin. And that's how, by the way, that's how he interprets Moya Moreno Ali Isha and Nara Basula too. Same way Rashi did. Even though he may think that the details are drabanan, what he's saying is we have to find a way to neutralize this breach and to put her back, you know, on a setting of Kavod and of Kedusha. Did you want to have a question? That would work with this. I mean, Samchu Chachamim. So there is a Tosas in Sota. Tosas in Sota, Daf Chav Zayin, says that even Rav Shimon ben Gamliel doesn't really believe that Ksuva is Doraisa. This is so we treat it like Daraisa. What I'm saying for the Rambam is the what I call the opposite parallel. Even if you hold Suva Drabanan, the principle is Daraisa. Okay, we'll stop.